go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by Richard Pollack. He is a world-class investigative reporter currently at the Daily Caller News Foundation. He is a man who has earned his chops in a lot of other media outlets as well, notably as the bureau chief for PJ Media, formerly as a producer for ABC News, Good Morning America, and as a senior producer for Fox News Sunday, back when our old friend Tony Snow was its host. He's always welcome here at Secure Freedom Radio. Let me just say right out of the box, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, and I wish the best to you and your staff on really a terrific program.
Thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about one of the reports that you did last year that I think is going to, if anything, be even more important in this year, and that is the insights that you gleaned in a conversation with one of Barack Obama's top intelligence officials, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, formerly the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, about Hillary Clinton's breaches of security. Talk about that, if you would, Richard.
Well, as I think that your listeners know, there's been a drip, drip, drip almost every couple of weeks about top secret or secret information that was in Hillary Clinton's private server at her home in New York. We now have that number at 1,250 secret or top secret items that lived on her email server, relatively unprotected by national security standards. And I was honored and able to talk to General Flynn about his reactions to it, and he just called it unreal and unbelievable that a top national security official should, in fact, have handled classified material in such a cavalier and reckless way. And so he says, I am completely astonished by each of these revelations, and he's very troubled about it and very angry about it, I might add.
I assume his working assumption is, as is mine, and that given what a target that server would have been and the ease with which it could be accessed by people who know their way around these things, that top secret information and the other classified documents were compromised. Is that your judgment?
Well, in actually a previous interview I did with the general, he said that he was sure that foreign intelligence agents had access and hacked her email site, that it was really just a plum full of intelligence information that any national security agency by an enemy state would find to be wonderful. And he believes that it has been completely compromised. Your listeners may or may not know that the existence of that particular private email server came about by a Romanian hacker who discovered it accidentally and then wrote about it. And God knows what relationship that hacker, who, by the way, is now in a Romanian jail, what kind of sources he had and who he sold that information to.
Yeah, an excellent question. Richard Pollack is our guest from the Daily Caller News Foundation. And Richard, another story that touches on several of the things we've just been addressing is the use, apparently at the direction of the White House. This is a little unclear, but it's unimaginable to me that it could have happened otherwise, of the National Security Agency's capabilities to monitor conversations between a friendly head of state, a key ally by my lights, Bibi Netanyahu of Israel, and members of the United States Congress. You've been in this town a long time. You know the players. You know the law. What do you make of what the administration did in this regard?
Well, of course, this comes at the background in which the Obama administration was caught spying through the NSA and other surveillance devices, both the French president and the German chancellor. And they vowed publicly that they would not be spying on allies. Now, this goes even more further than that, because it's one thing to listen to, let's say, Chancellor Merkel talking to Putin. But in this case, they were spying on members of Congress and their conversations with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, in which they were discussing specifically the problems that they were encountering with the Iranian nuclear deal. So here we have members of Congress talking about legislation with a head of state, and they are being surveilled. I mean, this has all of sort of like the feel of Watergate again, of the great surveillance state that people were so upset about under the Nixon administration. And here it is in bold black and white with the Obama administration.
And I just am struck by the fact that there seems to have been relatively little outcry over this. You're right. It does seem to harken back to a horrific abuse of power by a president, including, you know, the techniques of surveilling the press in that case and the Congress in this. There's a constitutional bar on doing that sort of thing, it seems to me, in the case of the Congress. But do you anticipate that this will, in fact, become a constitutional crisis or at least a serious challenge by the Congress to what the president's done?
So far, I've heard very little from the leadership of the Congress about this matter, which actually surprises me. And, of course, Congress is out of session, so it may be taken up by the Benghazi Committee or by the Speaker of the House or by others in the Senate when they return. But it is pretty unprecedented to eavesdrop on the political discussions between elected members of Congress and a friendly foreign power. And, you know, we talked a little bit before air about the constitutionality of it. And I think that the constitutionality of this is pretty much suspect.
The question, I guess, in part is, as you say, the administration claimed that they were going to stop monitoring allies' leaders' conversations. I never credited that, frankly, but they nonetheless took that position. Would you conclude, on the basis of what you know of the hostility of this administration towards the government of Israel, that, well, it's perhaps considering this not to be an ally for that purpose?
Yeah, that has been quite evident. Former Ambassador Michael Oren has written an entire book about it. Really, this administration has treated, I won't say that they've treated Israel the way that they've treated, let's say, North Korea, but they certainly have not accorded it the treatment that you would consider about a staunch ally in one of the most volatile places in the world, which is the Middle East. They have actually gone out of their way to offend it and to undermine it. Your listeners may recall that there were actually Obama campaign consultants who were working for parties in Israel against Netanyahu's reelection. So that's really how far this relationship has fallen.
Let me ask you in closing, Richard, in December you wrote a piece about the seeming growing rift between the Obama administration and another friendly nation, that of Ukraine. What's your latest take on that?
Well, Ukraine, of course, has been hit by a lot of problems, but one of the most important problems has been the problem of corruption in the country itself. And the country was corrupt under the previous administration. They now have a reform president who is trying to go and clean this up. And it is striking that the U.S. Embassy and Vice President Biden have really supported a prosecutor who has suspect ties to both Russian oligarchs, Ukrainian oligarchs, and other corrupt officials, and they've been supporting it. And in addition, what I think should be of great importance to the American public, and they probably don't know, I only knew about it when I really waded into it, is that Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, is on the board of directors of the largest privately owned Ukrainian gas and oil company that is headed up by a former oligarch under the previous administration. And the appearance of taking sides in terms of being an investor and the son of the vice president in a company that is tainted with all sorts of corrupt deals sends a message that perhaps the Obama administration is not really very serious about corruption.
It stinks to high heavens is the short form of that. We'll be talking more about it, I hope, with you, Richard Pollack, in the days ahead. Thank you for joining us today. Come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do so again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.